Sharon, Melanie, thank you so much. What a treat, what a treat. Oh, so as we are moving towards Thursday and a day of Thanksgiving that we all celebrate together, I've been doing a two-part series. Last week I started that series on Thanks Living, our key to abundant, to greater abundance. And so part one last week had to do with practicing gratitude all the time. That gratitude is an actual state of being. It's a practice, that for every day. And so I'm going to talk also a little bit more today about the second half of that experience of living in thanks and receiving our greater abundance, and that is being grateful to receive. So as just a little bit of a recap, we talked last week about the activity of gratitude and how it literally shifts our consciousness, how it changes and affects the neural pathways in our brains. We briefly spoke about, you know, from the old limbic brain and that fight or flight and that place in us that responds to negativity within 6 seconds is what they say, versus the 9, 10, 11, 12 seconds it takes to shift our awareness into how we are now choicefully being on that positive forward thinking experience rather than in that place of fear. So what it does is it takes practice, and it takes a constant practice. And we talked a little bit, people do gratitude lists. We've done that here in the congregation before, where I've given those out and you've worked with those through the week. They talked about people who wrote a thank you letter once or twice or three times a week and actively practiced gratitude. And I know my experience, what I was aware of is it kind of felt by rote when I'd sit down at night or in the morning to write a list. So that was just for me. And so what I was choosing to be aware of through this past week is any time a thought that I recognized came in, sometimes it took me a while to recognize it, any time a thought came in where I felt a negativity or a fear or a concern, I practice just plain shifting to a focus on something I was grateful for. And see, the thing is, there's a tendency to want to get rid of or do something with the old thought. But the truth is, we cannot think of two things at the same time. We think we can, but we actually have to go back and forth. So in any moment when we are focused on gratitude, the other thought is not present. And it was kind of a fascinating experience. So I just invite you, moving in towards Thanksgiving and beyond, to really be engaged in the practice, however that works for you, and a list at night or maybe in the morning when you're doing your meditation to be focused on that, but to begin to see that practice of focusing on gratitude literally changes the neural patterns in our brain. I'd like to share this from Dr. Christian Jarrett. He's a British psychologist and an author and quite well known. He does a lot of articles. He said, "A brain scanning study published in Neural Image has brought us closer to understanding why gratitude practices trigger positive effects." You know, we have talked in Unity about thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. That's sort of a little old saying that we have always had. And in that spiritual awareness, we understood that. Now they've got, you know, these amazing things. They can measure our brains and they can literally see these effects. So, Dr. Jarrett goes on to say, even months after a simple gratitude writing task that they had the people participate in, the researchers found the participants' brains were still wired to feel extra thankful. The implication is that gratitude tasks work because they have a self-perpetuating nature. The more you practice gratitude, the more attuned you are to it. and the more you can enjoy its psychological benefits. We talked about how gratitude and those things affect our bodies. It affects our wellness. It affects our state of mind. It affects our health. So many things, our heart rate and everything. So as we begin to embrace the power of practicing gratitude, it invites us into an awareness of how important it is to just simply give thanks. So I'd like to share a scripture from you. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, with hymns, with spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God." Always giving thanks to God. And we talked about it's not giving thanks for everything in our lives, but we can give thanks in everything. Knowing that no matter what the circumstances are, that that presence is there as our hearts are open and receptive to it. To give us the strength, to give us the inspiration, to lead us forward in the ways that are for highest good. And from Psalm 51, verse 2, it said, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully with psalms." So friends, this is a wonderful time to inspire us into a more focused attitude of gratitude, to literally practice it in our lives, to have it be a part of changing us so that these spiritual truths that we talk about, thoughts held in mind, produce after their kind, we recognize that that energy, that vibration of appreciation and gratitude literally shifts and shapes our minds, our brains, our very being. And so then as we're looking to how that shows up in our lives, as we talk about it being a key to greater abundance, we kind of want to breathe into, so we begin that gratitude process, but what kind of stops the abundance? And abundance comes in so many forms. It comes in happiness. It comes in prosperity. It comes in a state of mind, of well-being. It comes in, abundance comes in so many ways. Well, what kind of stops us as we're practicing this? I heard fear.
Judgment.
I'm sorry. Thank you. My ears are a little plugged up. I'm sorry. Insecurities. Exactly. So, no, go ahead. Anger. Absolutely. So all of those things, what are we speaking of here? We're speaking of the places where the heart of our being is closed down, right? So the things that stop us the most are the places where we feel in whatever way unworthy, because anger on the top of it has to do with hurt underneath and those feelings that we're not enough. And the places where we feel that, well, it's okay for everybody else to receive, but it's not enough for me. We have been taught a misteaching over time that it's, quote unquote, better to give than receive, right? Okay, well, so if we're not infilled, if we're empty, if we're feeling unworthy, if we are not resonant in the experience of love, how do we give? You know, it's like when you're on an airplane. I've said this before. When you're on the airplane and they talk about, you know, the masks, if they come down, if you, whatever, in the airplane, and they say to the mothers, put your own mask on first and then put the masks on your children. Because if you don't have your mask on and you run out of oxygen, you're not even going to be able to be there for your children, right? So where it came about that we were taught this concept of it's better to give than receive comes from Paul. Now Paul met Jesus and he had an experience. However, as with any of us who are spiritual seekers and then who, he was one of the, the biggest disciples that went out, but we bring with us our own concepts and our own beliefs. So if we take a look at Paul considering how Jesus walked, how he showed up, what did he do? He was there healing people. He was there for others, right? He was doing, he was constantly giving. So it would be sort of natural to think, well, it's better to give. That's what Jesus did. However, Jesus didn't really say that. Paul just said this is what Jesus said. We don't really know. And I dare say the things that are more focused on Jesus' actual words and speaking had to do with love. We always say that that's the message. The message is, and not the emotional love, but the limitless experience of that which is creation, which is God. God is love. In essence, in creation, co-creating. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So what do we hear first? Love thy neighbor. We forget that it tells us to love thy neighbor as thyself, which means we need to be infilled first. We need to be experiencing that living, loving presence of God in order to be able to love our neighbors. How can we love someone if we do not experience that within ourselves? Oh, you're good enough for that, but I'm not. Where does that leave us? So in order to be receiving and experiencing the flow of abundance in our lives, it has to do with that willingness to be first infilled. And naturally, we sort of tend to think that that's selfish. This is a quote from Parker J. Palmer. He was an author, a spiritual speaker. He created his own foundation. He says, self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship. Anytime we can listen to true self and give it the care it requires, we do it not only for ourselves, but for the many others whose lives we touch. And in scripture from Corinthians, it says, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. What is the first thing it says? You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. You know, if we have a penny in our hand and someone asks, it's kind of hard if that's all you have. But if you have $1 million in your hand, somebody says, hey, can I have some of that? Well, sure, right? It's a natural thing. When we are infilled, when we are full and feel that sense of plenty, it is only natural that we participate in giving back. From scripture, Mark 6:31, and he, being Jesus, said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. This was after the disciples had been out helping and supporting people and they were tired. And he said, come away and rest. And in Exodus it says, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And in Psalms 131, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Friends, all of these things remind us how important it is to take time to nurture, to take time for self-care, to take time apart to be infilled, to allow our hearts to experience that flow of the presence of God in order that we may share that with others. So many of you know Lucille Ball. I love this. She said, love yourself first and everything else falls in line. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. Love yourself first. Okay, so everyone. Okay, a little self-hug. Yeah. Just open your hearts a little bit. Barb, I love it. Barb doesn't just sit there. Barb engages her whole being in the hug. Yeah. And later on, when we're celebrating our Thanksgiving dinner with each other, having hugged yourself, you may find someone you want to share that hug with. But know first and foremost that it's important for us to take time to be infilled in order to then receive, to be open to receive the blessings that are everywhere present all of the time, all around us. And the thing that stops us is not that we are not good enough or not that there isn't enough out there. It is the walls that we put up that keep it apart from us. So in practicing this attitude of gratitude, this everyday practice, begin to allow yourselves to be infilled, to feel that living presence of God. And so today, we will be celebrating communion. And I will invite you into a little different experience, perhaps, than you might have considered if you have a past experience of communion. And what I would like to share around communion is that it comes from the Latin communio, meaning sharing in common, or communis, which means one with. One with. And if we take a look at what Jesus was inviting us into an awareness of, is opening our hearts to that, what he called the Christ consciousness, that higher awareness, our oneness with all creation, with breath of life, with divine spirit, with Yahweh, with God. Invite us into partaking of that, taking it into our very being, that we might be nourished and blessed. And so we've heard about the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And in unity, when Charles Fillmore speaks about the body of Christ, he's talking about divine mind idea. When he says, partake of my body, he's saying, partake of the divine mind and idea of the living substance of Godness, of all creation, of all that is. And when he speaks about the blood of his body, he is speaking about the energy or the life force that moves through us, that partakes of that substance, that partakes of those ideas where we are infilled, where we are blessed, where we recognize greater truths, and we take that and we allow that life energy spirit to move through every part of our being and to be expressed. And so in a moment, I will be inviting you to come forward as you choose. I will just invite the first rows to come forward, and then you'll move back and into your rows if you would choose to partake. And I would invite you to open your hearts to this experience, to know that this symbolically represents that infilling, that time of being nurtured, of partaking of. And as you're open and receptive to that, feel it moving through your body. Feel it present in your thoughts. Feel it present in your experience. So we have grape juice. It does have apple juice in it for anyone who has allergies. We also have gluten-free rice almond cakes here. So I will invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I will share with you from Scripture, from St. Matthew 26, verses 26 and 27. Now, this is from the LAMSA Bible. which was from ancient Eastern manuscripts rather than an English translation. And this is what was written at that Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He was speaking of, this is my consciousness, that I am aware of my oneness, of our oneness with God. And he went on to say, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. Drink of the energy of life, all of you. Let that be how you put into action that living presence of the allness of God." So I'll invite you into your own experience now as you open your eyes and as you choose to come forward to partake of that consciousness of the Christ awareness, of that living presence of divine mind idea of the presence of God. bless you. And so as we allow this experience to fill us, to replenish us, to lift us up, to open our hearts, to allow the flow of gratitude, I'd like to share this from Sarah Ben Brannick. She says, "Whatever you are waiting for, peace of mind, contentment, grace, the inner awareness of simple abundance, it will surely come, but only when you are ready to receive it with an open and grateful heart." So let us embrace this week to come and the weeks that follow Thanksgiving in that practice of gratitude, in a willingness to receive, and follow this wonderful Native American saying, "Give thanks for unknown blessings already on their way."